and welcome to Chats For You. This is the podcast where I, James, talk to people I like for you, the public. And that is really all it is. I asked some people if I could talk to them, some of them let me, and that is what's about to happen. It's a great premise. In this episode, episode 37, I talk to the writer and performer Juliet Burton. And this is just a very quick intro for this one. And at the end, after the post-chat, I'll be back to tell you a bit more about where you can find out information on Juliet. And also, I've got some information of my own to get out there in the world. Oh, that is mysterious, isn't it? Should I explain any more? No, it's going to leave it as a mysterious thing. Here is my chat with Juliet Burton, as recorded out the back of a pub. I think that's right, and that's recording. Cool. So we just commence.
Yay, commence is a good word.
Thank you.
This is a brilliant start to an interview. Amazing.
Use the word you like.
Yeah,
kicks
commence,
it off.
Yeah.
Okay, so as you have done some presenting in the past, I thought it'd be good if you did the intro, because you're like much better than me.
Do you want
me
to do my radio voice?
Yeah, you can do your radio voice, and yeah. I've written like the intro there, so if you could just read that.
So I'm just reading this cold.
Yeah, just reading the cold.
16th of November, 2014.
Oh, you don't need to do that. That was fine.
Oh, sorry. Hello there, I'm Juliet Burton. This afternoon, or if you prefer, right now, I'm sitting down for a chat with James Walker for his Chats For You. Sorry, Chats Open Brackets For You, close brackets.
Thank you.
Sorry. Podcast. And can I just say, I don't want to go off script or anything. Sorry, James. But I've been looking forward to this for a real long time. I'm American now. This is brilliant. To call me a fan would be an understatement.
Oh, wow.
I've heard all 36 episodes so far and think you're just absolutely what's that word? I can't read your writing.
Yes, delightful.
Delightful. Delightful. And Scottish, actually.
Yep.
And basically, I just can't wait for this to begin, and I hope it lasts forever. Sorry, I went on a bit of a tangent, but there, I've said my piece now. Over to you, the most delightful James.
Thank you. What an intro that was. You completely went off the...
Yeah, it was totally, you know, that wasn't on script at all.
Yeah, you just went way off and...
Well, it's hard not to kind of, you know, get carried away with romantic notions sitting opposite you.
Oh, that's very...
You're just so lovely.
Oh, that's very sweet. That's very nice. So recently, we've both had a bit of a mouse situation.
Yes, that sounds weird. Not of the Minnie Mouse or Mickey Mouse variety.
Yeah, okay. So a mouse has been in our lives...
Yes, do you think it's the same mouse? The same mouse has been tormenting both of us.
Well, mine was quite a while ago, so I don't know if he's maybe done some other stuff and then came to... So what was your most recent experience with the mouse?
It was very recent, as you know. This week... I currently live in a flat in Edinburgh. Not just this week, but I've been working quite hard. I was working up till about 3 a.m, fell asleep on the sofa, which is quite a common occurrence for me. And... I sort of, you know, when you're in that state where you've kind of slightly woken up, but you haven't opened your eyes yet, and you can start being aware of the noise and stuff. So I heard this sort of pit-patting on fabric, and I wasn't even aware where I was or anything until I suddenly opened my eyes, and I was aware I was on the sofa, and there was a mouse in my hair, like pretty much cuddling up, making a little nest in my hair. I didn't squeal or scream. I felt quite proud of myself for that, but I did sit bolt upright, and it kind of leapt up onto the top of the sofa, almost to look as if to look at me from his mountain of pride and conquering my life, and kind of looked at me as if to say, "Oh, well, thanks for waking up. I was quite comfortable there. What am I going to do now? Well, I best go find somewhere else more comfortable. I wonder who else I can cuddle up next to. Maybe James Walker."
Yep.
He scurried away. It was horrible because I'm about to move from my flat.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, you know, Edinburghian. That's not a word, but I like using it.
I'll
anyway.
Let you use it.
Thank you. Edinburghian.
I'm not going to stop this because you used that.
It's a Georgian Grade 2 listed flat, and it's for a steal because we're up here, and it was lovely. I'm about to move to a modern new build place, and quite often I kind of think, oh, I'm going to miss how much I love it here, and I'm really going to miss this beautiful, beautiful old building. And that was not one of those times.
Yeah, so you kind of, you hope you're not there anymore.
Yeah, I don't think there's many mice. I've lived in lots of new build flats previously, and I just like mice tend to like beautiful architecture, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my one is the situation. I'll now go into my mouse story.
This is clearly going to be the same mouse. Okay.
Yeah, probably the same mouse. So one night, just having a little sleep. Classic.
Yeah.
I'm always doing that at night.
Yeah, nighttime's a good time to sleep.
Best.
Yeah.
I'd go as far as to say the best.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sometimes daytime, we're going off on a tangent, but sometimes daytime
You've sleeping. Already done a tangent already, so I'd just stop it.
I quite like daytime sleeping. It's quite satisfying.
It's not bad.
But nighttime, so you sleep at night.
Nighttime. And then I just kind of wake up and I feel something on my bed. I just thought it was maybe just something I'd left on it or whatever, so I just
thought. So you felt it with your hand?
No, I just sort of felt it, sort of something on the...
Something, yeah.
Yeah, just something's there, you know, something's there.
It could be a girl, could be a lady love, could be any kind of a lover that you've forgotten about. A cat.
So then, that's just sort of, that was fine. And then later on, I felt something again, and I was like, that is something moving, that is a thing.
Yeah.
So then I jumped up, and then something fell down from my bed, and then ran away off. I was like, that is a mouse situation.
Coming into your bed, wow.
So then, later, same night, lying down, and then I heard a sort of noise on my right. And then I was looking at my phone at the time, so I thought, how am I going to see what this is? And the phone, I don't know if you know, phones light up. They're sort of quite bright.
Yeah, I've heard that now, yeah.
They can do it with these new phones.
It's amazing, newfangled phone, telephones.
So then I sort of maneuvered my phone, turned it a bit, and then right next to me was a mouse.
Wow.
So right next to
me. Kind of like Hellraiser almost or something, like with the scary lighting. Or Wow.
It was right there. So I jumped up. And then I put the light on, and then he's still very happily sitting there. He was on the first pillow. I sleep on two pillows, classic. And then he was on the one below, and he hadn't moved even after I jumped up. So then I thought, what am I going to do here? So I clapped him away. That's how I did it. Just sort of clapped.
He wasn't moving until you clapped.
Yeah, he wasn't moving at all until
You've
I clapped.
You've got some brave little.
Yeah,
mice.
He's like, hey, he gets braver.
Oh, okay.
So I am just clapping him away. I think that's. Good way to get rid of him.
Yeah, well, just he might think you're applauding him.
That's true.
For his bravery.
So he runs off down the side of the bed, and then fine. And then at that point, I thought, I'm not sleeping through here, that's mental. So I went through at the couch.
Yeah.
So I was there for a bit, and I couldn't get much sleep because I've got a dog, he's moving around a lot.
Yeah.
That's a bit of back.
So the dog hadn't cottoned on to the fact that the mouse was up and
about. Oh, he sees anything, he's not bothered.
Right, okay.
He's fine.
Okay, he's just pretty relaxed. He's been on some kind of herbal.
He is laid back.
Yeah. What have you been putting in his food?
So then I went through there, and then I thought I'd go through now and again to my room just to see if he's there.
Yeah.
And see what's happened. Every time I went through, he was sat there just waiting.
The mouse?
On the bed. He'd come back up onto the bed several times, just sitting there and waiting.
Have you put some cheese in your bed? Maybe your feet smell so much of cheese.
Okay.
That's...
I don't want that being out there.
Okay, sorry. Not your feet. What other part of your body might smell of cheese?
My hand, if I'm holding some cheese.
Okay, well, maybe you've eaten so much cheese that you're just sweating. Your sweat smells of something that is really, really, really attractive to mice, so like Stilton or cheddar. Or,
yeah.
Or maybe your jokes are so cheesy that.
No,
that's...
well, I don't like this angle either.
That's how kind of I felt like maybe my mouse had found me because he knows, or she. I don't know. I don't have to tell the sex of mice. But. Maybe because I really wanted a pet for a really long time,
yeah.
And I'm not allowed pets in my flat. So maybe it just found me because it knew spiritually that I really wanted a companion. Just I didn't want it in my hair.
Huh. So what do you think are? How do you think mice feel about us now? Like, what do you think their feeling is in general?
I think that your mouse sounds like it's a little bit in love with you because it's trying to tempt you to bed.
Mm-hmm. That was quite a while ago. He's not.
Yeah.
I've had mice appear now and then, but he's not as into it as that one.
Right, okay, so that one was the one and only true love.
That's the one that broke my heart.
Yeah, yeah, and then ran away and broke it. I think that mice probably, they give off this air of being a little bit cocky, a little bit cheeky, but maybe...
They're cheeky boys.
They are, or girls, I don't know if it's girls, but I don't know.
That is one of my questions, do you understand the sex of mice?
No, I don't.
Okay, good.
And I worked on a rodent farm, so I genuinely worked on a rodent farm one summer, so, you know, mice can be cute, I'm aware of that, but they can also be cheeky little mother fudges.
Yep.
But I think that maybe like most cheeky, you know, arrogant men that I know, they are usually actually quite scared and trying to make up for their, you know, they're trying to intimidate and overcompensate for their insecurities. So maybe mice are actually just really insecure and they're trying to just cuddle up to us because they want to get to know us better. Maybe they're here to study us like aliens.
Oh,
maybe they are aliens.
What would you not want a mouse knowing about you?
Oh, I've got so many secrets, which I probably shouldn't go into onto a podcast. But I think definitely they should. I think this is probably part of the reason why mice like our flat so much is that they. I think I wouldn't like mice to know how little I do my housework. I don't often do housework, and I was doing some today after the mouse incident. So I was thinking, how many places has that mouse peed? I suddenly came across lots of satsuma, not satsumas, but the peels of satsumas that I'd kind of. I like to think of myself as quite a good shot. I'm quite good at shooting games. So when chuck a satsuma peel into the bin from the other side of the room, I assume it goes in. But I also don't wear my glasses as much as I ought to, so sometimes clearly it doesn't go in. But I think it's gone in because I'm not wearing my glasses. And I can imagine that the mice have probably been having a 5-course banquet of satsuma peels in the corner of my lounge.
They love that. So I don't know how to move on from mice to other stuff.
Well, I hope this might help, but basically I also feel like your listeners should know that this is a beautiful setting. We can just see the top of Edinburgh Castle, and it's got the pink sunset happening behind it, and it's on St Andrew's Day that we're meeting as well, amazing. And we're out the back of a pub in the Grass Market in Edinburgh.
It's pretty nice.
Life is good, isn't it?
Yes, not bad at all.
I can help you make, what's the next topic, and I can help you make a segue.
I don't know where I'm going yet because I don't do them in order, so I can just sort of freestyle.
Pick one and I'll make a segue happen.
Okay. So it's about you going on this morning.
Okay, right. This morning.
Okay, you can do that then.
So mice are pretty small, aren't they? Do you know who else is really small? Amanda Holden.
Oh, she's really small.
She is quite small. She's quite tiny. Did you know that I went on this morning, the TV programme?
That's really good.
She presented it.
Could you come along to all the ones I do from now on?
Oh, absolutely. I love doing
this. I was going to ask you, you've been on this morning, from your time spent with me so far, what qualities would you say that I share with Philip Schofield?
You both cross your legs.
Okay, yep. I think that's where I learned it for him.
Yeah.
I'd never done it before.
Very observant. Yep. Well done. You both obviously have a certain allure, a certain pheromone that you give off, which puts other people at ease.
The chat pheromone?
Sorry?
The chat pheromone?
Chat pheromone. I thought you said cat pheromone. I was like, so you go around peeing on stuff again. This is turning into a urination chat. And what other things?
We're recording the urination chat after this.
Do you know what? Philip Schofield was actually quite, he was quite petite. Like I expected him to be a bit more, you know, like the camera adds 10 pounds apparently according to people who want to make you
believe in
the diet.
Did you think it would be 10 pounds of muscle?
I felt like he was going to be a bit more beef cakey, a little bit, but maybe that's just in my dreams. But he is quite toned, like yourself.
Oh, I'm not, so that.
You're less fake tanned than him.
Yeah, that's true.
And what other things? Your love of getting to know people.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. He seemed very interested in everybody that he spoke to.
Okay, so here is the next thing.
Do you want me to do a segue as well?
No, I'll do it.
Okay,
this one.
You do the link.
My segues are, here is the next thing.
Okay, that's a good pass. That's genius. Nobody's ever thought of that before.
Let's say, okay, we're going to talk about your ideal audience member, right?
Okay.
So what this means is, let's say there'd be a Juliet Burton uniform, right, that all of your fans could wear, and they'd all wear it to the same show.
Wow.
What would you want it to be?
I don't know whether I kind of like that idea, but it's also could be quite scary. It could be a Doctor Who episode.
Yeah.
So what would I like the uniform of my fans to be? That's the question. I don't know why, but in my head I keep coming up with schoolgirl outfits, which is not right. Clearly that's some kind of Freudian thing in my head. I think they ought to wear... I think that the outfit, the uniform would be, because I believe very much in celebrating that everyone's awesome, and no matter what they look like or who they are, everyone's awesome. I think that everyone should wear their either their most outrageous outfit, like the one that is spectacular and like, I don't care what the hell anyone thinks about me wearing this, but I'm going to wear it anyway, and that is the uniform. So it's not a uniform.
Yeah, yeah.
If that makes sense. It's a non-conformity uniform.
Yep.
Or maybe, and maybe you could help me with this actually, James, because this is clearly a plan, a master plan that I'm going to have to create
cool.
now. Should it be that, or should it be that everyone wears their swimsuit underneath their clothes? Because then I think everyone looks hot in a swimsuit. I have seen a lot of varying shapes and sizes in swimsuits, and I think that, yeah, I think people look hot in swimsuits.
So would they ever reveal the swimsuit?
Or maybe they could just watch me in their swimsuit.
Yeah, because it's either a swimsuit or the outrageous.
I think because an audience full of swimsuits would be quite cool.
Yeah.
Especially in Edinburgh during the fringe time, because you just have to prepare for it to be being hot, sweltering summertime, mm-hmm. or downpours of rain. So swimsuit works in both of those.
Yeah.
So maybe that could work.
It could work. Yep.
Yeah.
So just
either that or the outrageous one.
On a mailing list. Get that out there.
Just let people know that if they want to turn up in a swimsuit, then I'm imagining men in speedos now. This is still very Freudian. Some kind of pent up frustration in me, clearly.
Okay, let's say if I were to become you, okay?
Segway, amazing segue.
Steal your identity.
Okay.
What would you say are the three things I'd have to get right? In other words, what makes Juliet Burton Juliet Burton?
Oh, that's really difficult. I haven't done my homework, clearly. What makes me me?
What do you mean? You've listened to all the episodes, as you said earlier.
Well, I did all of that, but this isn't... this is a bit, yeah, it's a strange one actually, because I've been asked a question similar to this recently, which is what's the best bit of about being Juliet Burton, and I'd kind of never thought about it before. Like,
yeah,
what's the best bit about being alive was how I interpreted the question, because I'm not really that.
Because you are you.
Yeah, I am me, but I said for that one, I think the best bit about being me is that I get to be curious and explore lots of awesome parts of the world and meet loads of different people, and I get to be grateful for that every single day.
Yeah, that may be true, but I don't want a second-hand answer.
Yes, no. This is a different question.
Yeah, okay.
I was saying that this question is as good as, if not better than, that question.
I'd go better, personally.
Yeah, well, I'm basically saying that I think interviews are getting better generally. I used to get asked all these kind of boring, dull questions about, you know, so tell me about your show. It's like, well, yeah, I've said this a million times. Okay, so what makes me me, and what would you have to get right to be me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that you would. What makes me me? Well, you'd have to overthink things, clearly, far too much, because that's what I'm doing right now.
I've got it in the bag.
You've got good practice there. So you'd have to really overthink things. You'd have to be able to manage this. I'm struggling with this, so feel free to struggle with it, but manage your family being a completely different world to your the rest of your life, like your career and
right,
everything
yeah,
you
yeah,
love
yeah.
So you are everything that's almost a complete opposite of your family, but you love your family, mm-hmm. so you'd have to kind of live in these two very separate worlds, and you would have to you'd have to dress spectacularly. She says, wearing probably my slouchiest outfit in a long while right now.
What do you reckon with me?
I'm liking the fact that you've got the black and black and the kind of...
This is dark blue, I'd say.
Is it dark blue? I'm so sorry.
It's very dark here, it's cool.
But you've kind of coordinated your t-shirt and your trousers. And your shoes.
I think the shoes sort of go with the jacket.
Yeah, shoes and jacket are kind of coordinated.
This is great
as well,
for audio.
So, yeah, I know, but
I did ask.
Obviously, I'm sitting here wearing a ball gown and tiara and a spectacular, Louis Vuitton shoes as well. So that's what I'm wearing. I'm not wearing UGG boots, a trapper hat, and a very old furry jacket at the moment.
It's very cold, so that's good.
But that's probably quite... those are three things that make me me, but I don't think I do... me dressing spectacularly doesn't really make me... That doesn't really make me who I am. You'd have to manage the highs and lows. I get very, very high
yeah.
and manic and crazy, and then you have to deal with that and then the very next day, or even that very day, crying for absolutely no reason and finding it hard to get out of bed, but then go and do a show. So yeah, that's something that I do pretty well. Sometimes do it better than others. I did once have a show when I was crying 5 minutes before I got on stage because I was really struggling, and I was hiding behind the curtains, just bawling my eyes out. There was a particular reason. I was really homesick and really missing home on tour, and I was bawling my eyes out, and then all the audience members are coming in, and I was like trying to stop my, you know, make my makeup, my mascara stop running and do my lipstick, and suddenly the lipstick, you have to wear lipstick, James, that suddenly gave me the magic power that I needed to get on the stage. And just that's the mask a little bit, enough of a mask to go on stage and do a really truthful show.
And check this out for a segue.
Oh, okay, go, get hit ready. Me, hit me. I'm ready.
Speaking of the highs and lows of performing.
Amazing.
Let's say pre-gig, when having the standard nerves, okay, you're getting to your own headspace. In that moment, whose headspace would you rather be in terms of you then have their confidence and you'd be able to, like, one person said Barack Obama, someone said The Rock, because he's pretty confident, he's a big wrestler.
The first thing that sprang to mind was a puppy.
Yep.
Because puppies have like boundless energy, and they're just excited and so delighted that you're here, and oh my god, you're here, just amazing, and they couldn't be more happy. And when you look at a puppy being like that, then you just can't help but smile, I think. That's the thing that sprang to mind the most in terms of people. If I had to pick a person. Miss Piggy, she's a person, isn't she?
Yep, I'll let you have that.
Because she knows who she is, and she isn't afraid to be who she is. She's my go-to idol in terms of...
Miss Piggy or a puppy?
Miss Piggy or a puppy. I'm somewhere between the two, I think.
Miss Piggy holding a puppy?
A puppy dressed as well as Miss Piggy?
One of those.
Yeah.
One of those.
Yeah.
One of those.
And that is what I want for Christmas, please, Santa.
Okay, now we're going to talk a bit about merch, okay?
Oh, merch, okay.
So let's say there's, I don't know if there is, but let's say there is Juliet Burton merchandise.
There is some Juliet Burton merchandise, yeah.
What is available? Let's plug it.
Okay, well, we've got some limited edition posters from my latest show, Look At Me, which basically is a poster of me in my underwear, but it's not objectification. Because there's a checklist online of whether an image is objectifying or not, and I did it ages ago, about a year ago, when I had this poster designed. I got it, and it's definitely not objectifying, because it's not my defining characteristic, it's not my sexuality in it. My defining characteristic is me comparing myself to this mannequin that I'm being in a double act with. So anyway, we've got that. We've got some badges, which have, I think the ones that we've got left at the moment are, they're pink, and they say, what do you see? Written on them, which is linked to the latest show, Look At Me. We also have some flyers and some little affirmation cards with really positive sayings on them that also have some information on the back to help get people through the day. That's
And would these things make a good Christmas gift?
Oh my god, they'd be the most amazing Christmas gift.
Oh yeah.
They'd probably be good in a little bundle along with some tickets to see me perform in 2015, I think, like at the Dave Zester Comedy Festival on the 22nd of February.
Just as an example.
Yeah, just as an example. I'm doing a couple of charity gigs as well, which is always good to give as a gift, but you know, go on my website if you'd like to find out more.
So let's say, merchandise-wise, there was a Juliet Burton action figure. Okay.
That would be rocking.
What would be its look, like the apparel you wear the most? What would you want to be on this thing?
Okay.
And also, who would your arch nemesis be?
Oh, that's such a good question. Because one of my friends is so into like comic books and superheroes, and he's trying to get me into them. And even yesterday, he was on a hen party, and he was texting me saying, I'm wearing a sash. This is not my regular look. And I said, I don't think that superheroes are meant to wear sashes. So anyway... I think my superhero action figure would have to have really bright lipstick, because that's the thing. Have to have its hair down, because that's my thing. I always wear a kind of a dress that goes in at the waist, so really brightly coloured dress. And I think I'd have to have a cape. I don't think it would be a superhero without a cape.
Yeah.
I think you have to have a cape. And I think bare feet as well, because I love performing in bare feet. So I think that, but you can pick your own colours. So it'd be like you could pick your own make it your own Juliet Burton.
And you could now and then release different costumes that you could then put on the Juliet Burton doll.
Yeah, and then if you took it off, then you'd have that underwear that I was wearing in the poster.
Yeah.
On underneath, so it wouldn't be like a naked, because that always used to freak me out a little bit.
It's a bit weird.
You know, certain dolls are naked underneath their outfits. And then the nemesis would be, I think it would have to be me, but you'd be the same doll, because basically I am my own worst enemy. Again, I was messaging a friend 2 days ago about the fact that I think that for a lot of people with mental health problems, but also just a lot of people generally, our own worst enemy is ourself. And I was saying, I wish so much that I could just extract that part of me that I know is self-sabotaging, and I know I struggle with every day at the moment, and I could make that into something outside of myself, so I could get all my friends to rally around with me and beat it down as it's something physical and tangible outside of myself.
Yeah.
So I think it would have to be me as an action figure would be looking like as I described, but then the lipstick, by the way, can come off and I'm still the action superhero, so it's not defined by the makeup. But then the other one would be like, you can't take the makeup off, like the makeup is plastered on there,
right,
it'd be like a dark version, like a super sexual kind of,
got sort of like red eyes,
like an evil, like, you know, I think a lot of people are getting behind feminism at the moment, which is a big deal for me as well. Like, I'm massively into equality for everybody, whether you're disabled or different coloured, or, you know, whatever background you're from, basically we're all awesome, is my ethos. And I think that overtly sexualizing women is starting to really die out, and I'm starting to notice it more, that when people do, like, you know, I watched the Inbetweeners movie yesterday for third time, which I think is awesome. But again, I was starting to view it in a slightly different way, because they use certain words that are a little bit derogatory of women, and it's fine because they're characters and they're actually, they've got depths and reasons that they overcompensate with that kind of language. But I've started to kind of hear those words in a different way now, thanks to recent events like Dapper Laughs on ITV and other things that have happened, that kind of, I think of just like the PUAs and stuff. I think that if my nemesis would be like everything that I thought I was meant to be as a child, so teeny tiny minute waist and photoshopped and no blemishes and everything, that would be my nemesis, compared to their superhero, which would be completely flawed and, you know, not have the teeny tiny waist. It would just be, you know, me as me, being perfectly imperfect.
That's the best answer I've ever had that.
Oh, awesome. I went off on a bit of a tangent.
Really good.
But I liked it. It was good. I might have that made.
Yeah.
We should totally do that.
It's quite a good signifier of things.
I think it could educate young girls and guys and boys.
Just, as long as I get a bit of the cut.
Yes.
A bit of the money cut.
You can definitely help me with that. Okay, let's get some sponsorship sorted. If anyone's listening and they want to fund our amazing idea that we had, then you know, Lamely is a doll that happened in America, which is the kind of perfectly imperfect realistic doll. We need to make that happen in the UK.
Yep.
Make it a Juliet doll. Boom, sorted.
Boom. Done it. So let's move on to my trademark question.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of interviewers sort of, they've got like real talent and they've got all these questions that they use. I just think you need one killer question.
I love that you say that a lot of interviewers have talent. I don't. I just have one question. Yeah, go for it.
Just got one killer question.
Yeah, okay. Kill me with it.
What do you like?
What do I like?
Yep.
What do I like?
Yep.
I like kindness. That's so cheesy. I like sunsets and sunrises, and I like limitless horizons.
No, that's a bit cheesy.
That's cheesy, isn't
that's
it?
That's a bit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should really, you know, you killed me with the question. I was doing really well on the last question,
yep,
and I answered it really well.
Nailed it.
And then this one, you killed me. The question was too good for the answer.
It happens a lot. People just, they can't take the question.
That's it. It's that you know, you built up the question to be this amazing thing, and it was amazing.
Yep.
And then I was just flawed mentally, like, oh, flip. What do I actually like?
That's all you need. I could be as big as Letterman with this question.
Wait, let me think about this again. Oh, no, I've got it. Can I try again?
Yep, do you want me to ask it again?
Yes, please.
What do you like?
Cherries.
Cool.
Is that better?
Yeah, nailed it. You got really good that time.
Thanks. Yeah! I'm nailing this interview.
Now,
the listeners, I feel sorry for the listeners. They're going to listen to this and just be like disappointed by every other interview ever after this.
Yeah, no, this is sort of like reaching the peak.
Yeah, of all
so
interviews.
Maybe if you're at this point and you first listen, save it a bit.
Yeah.
Like pause it here and then have a few years.
It's like a 5-course meal, really. You want to savor it,
yeah,
and enjoy
savor it.
Like take your time over
just
it.
Just take your time over our chat. Now it's time for the deepest question.
Oh, I love deep questions.
Okay. Spirit to get deep.
Yeah, no, I prefer operating on that level.
Okay, cool. What would you like to ask yourself?
That was me exhaling. what would I like to ask? Okay, let's just think about this for a second. And thinking's not good for radio either. Okay, I've got two answers.
Okay, cool.
The deep answer is, why won't you let yourself be free?
Okay.
And the less deep answer is, why won't you let yourself have a puppy?
Yep, that's... how much do you want a puppy?
A lot. Like a really, really lot. But I want it so much that I know that I probably couldn't currently give it the lifestyle it deserves.
Right.
Like, looking after it every day because I travel a lot and, you know, giving it little treats and stockings for Christmas and stuff. I don't really currently think I can offer any puppy that kind of commitment. So I don't think any puppy's going to put a ring on my finger.
Aww.
Or a lead on my finger anytime soon.
A lead's on the puppy and then in your hand.
Yeah.
Out for the walk. That's not as catchy.
No, Beyonce didn't sing about that, really.
Maybe in the demos.
She could do. I think maybe that's her next song.
Yep.
Yeah.
About taking the dog for a walk.
Okay.
Okay.
So we've nailed deep stuff.
Yeah. Let me just... almost half an hour. Okay, that's cool. So I'll just wrap it up.
Okay. Because we've basically reached the peak of all interviews ever.
Yeah.
So we have to really just do this. You can't really kill Philip Schofield, so... You know, we need to allow him.
Yeah, that's true.
If we carried on, we'd just be too good.
I'll just sort of, I can maybe taunt him with the question.
Yes.
I'll tweet it at him now and again. What do you like? And he'll be like, oh, that's a good question.
Yeah. But then he might nick it, and then you'd have...
People have threatened that in the past.
Yeah.
They threatened to steal it. And
that's not good.
I've got my lawyers out there looking, so that's cool.
Good. I'm glad.
Basically, finally, anything you'd like to add or get off your chest at the end of this chat? Anything you'd just like to...
Well, weirdly, the thing that popped into my head was that regarding my cherries answer to the question.
The question.
yeah, so cherries. They are the same price. These healthy, gorgeous, delicious, amazing little balls, little tiny weeny, little spherical delights.
Yep.
A tiny punnet of them is the same price as a huge box of chocolates.
Oh.
And I'm really pissed off about that, because chocolates don't offer any nutritional value, but cherries are amazing, and I kind of think that's, and they're healthy, and I kind of think that's not fair for people to not have to kind of, you know, which would you go for? Well, you go for the chocolates, obviously, because they're joy givers, but cherries are joy givers too, but they're overpriced.
You feel a bit sorry for the cherries and feel like getting a bit left out.
I do. I also think that the meaning of life is to be kind.
Yeah, so would your message to anyone listening now, right at the end, be buy more cherries?
But then they might bankrupt themselves by how expensive.
I don't know how.
Cherries.
I don't
are.
Know. I don't think they'd get that into it.
they're quite expensive. Like, seriously, you could eat very well for the price of two punnets of cherries. Which is why I kind of would like it if anyone would like to send me any cherries. But no, I think if anyone, the one thing that I'd like anyone listening to this to take away from it would be to just for one, after you've listened to this, even if you just take 1 hour or potentially the rest of the day out to stop overthinking like I do and just go and enjoy yourself and enjoy being alive, because you're pretty amazing and it's incredible that you've got this opportunity just to go and do anything that you fancy today. So it doesn't have to be expensive, just go and do whatever makes you happy.
That is a very nice message, and thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you. I told you about cheese. Cheese. Cheese! With the mice.
Cool.
That was my chat with Juliet Burton. Thank you very much to Juliet for giving me some of her time. And hey, guys, do you want to find out more about Juliet? Here's where you can do so. She's on Twitter, at Juliet Burton. She's also on Facebook, Juliet Burton, writer-performer. That is the name of her Facebook page. Website, www.julietburton.co.uk. There you can find a list of performances where she is performing, and also all you could ever want to know about her on the page. Maybe not everything ever, but like a fair bit. It's a good website. And an example, as she said in the chat, where she might be performing is at the Dave Comedy Festival in Leicester on February the 22nd. You should go there. Just go it. Another one, Brighton Fringe in May, mate. In May. And then I said mate, so it sounded weird. May, mate. Brighton Fringe in May, mate. And also, she's going to be touring Scotland and the UK next summer. So for details, you can sign up to our newsletter. Why not do that? You're very welcome to do so. I asked if that was fine, and she said, yep. I'd like people to do it. You're welcome to say that people should. So that's how that conversation panned out. Sorry, I got a bit sassy there, didn't I? Sorry. Got a bit aggressive. But sort of like no nonsense. I am no nonsense, but I'm also very, very polite. So yeah, I said I had a bit of info to share. I do. This is it. The next episode of this will be a Christmas catch-up special. The second of such a thing. So what that is it's like clips from the past year of the chats I've done. Just little clips here and there. So that if you've never heard the show before this one, that might be a good one to listen to. Because then you'll get a taste of what other ones have been like. And also, I've not made it yet, so saying it right now and like putting it out there into the world as a recorded thing that you're all listening to right now makes me feel that there's a bit more pressure to actually sit down and make it, so I'll do that. It'll be out in a while, before Christmas. If it gets to Christmas, right, Christmas Day, and it's still not out, something's went wrong. So feel free to sort of leave your family, leave your friends on Christmas Day, just sort of leave the room and just send me a little tweet going, hey, where's the podcast? I want to listen right now. I'm fed up all these close relatives. I want to listen to the podcast. And then I'll try and get to you as soon as I can, but probably wouldn't be for... I'm celebrating Christmas. Leave me alone. Okay, this is quite a long outro. They're not usually this long. So if this has put you off, like, listening to any more, this is the longest one ever. It's never been a person has never talked this much on a podcast. Is that right? I'm going to go with that. So, yep, that is going to come out next. And you're welcome to subscribe to the podcast if you'd like to hear that first before anyone else. And the people that are going to be on it are sort of the likes of BJ Novak from The American Office and Josie Long and Eddie Pepitone and Sammy J and some others. I don't know why I said that like that. Some others. But there will be some others in it. So yes, please subscribe. Listen to that. Accept my apology of this being a very long outro. And have a nice day. And show it to your friends and stuff, this podcast. If you're on a night out, just sort of don't like sort of try and meet women or anything, or men, just kind of sit around, get some headphones out, sit in the club, listen to the podcast, show them what it's all about.
If you like this podcast, you can follow the Twitter account at chats4you. And if inclined to do so, you could also leave a glowing 5-star review on the iTunes store to help it get a little bit more attention. But nothing less than glowing. So just to make that clear, a glowing 5-star review on the iTunes store. Thank you. This podcast was an Imminent Joy production. Visit imminentjoy.com for a bunch of different funny people doing a bunch of different funny things.